This morning, I want to speak and continue where we've been as church. You know that we started our year together reflecting on this truth that we are blessed to be a blessing to other people. And the last 4 weeks or so, we've been looking at this. We've been thinking about this word "bless" and the this acrostic "bless" that stands for a number of things. So we said we are blessed to be a blessing, and then we were thinking about what it means to be blessed and to be a blessing. And we said that this word "bless" could help us as we seek to be a church, a group of people that bless those that are around us, recognizing that we have been incredibly blessed ourselves and that we want to be a blessing. And we said, well, actually, what could we do on a daily basis to be a blessing to our communities, to be a blessing to our family, our friends, for those around us, those that we know and those that we don't know? And we said, well, we'll begin with prayer. And already, as we've done this, there are stories coming back to us. I heard a story this week that I have permission to share with you. Carl was he's on his shift this morning. That's right, Louise. So he's busy working or sleeping. But he reached out to a colleague of his who was struggling with an ankle injury, and they had a bit of, I think the environment that Carl works in is normally a bit of banter. It's not a place where you'd normally expect to be praying for each other in workshops and things, but this friend of his said that he was happy for Carl to pray for him. Came back the next day and he said, "How's your ankle?" He said, "Well, it still hurts." And Carl said, "Well, would you mind if I ask my..." I don't know if he said my life group. Yeah, he said my life group. And I'm sure the guy said, "What's a life group?" Anyway, another conversation to pray. And this guy said, "Yeah, no, I'd appreciate that." So Carl's messaged his life group. But there was a real sense that Carl had boldness to say, "Look, I believe for this. I can pray. I'm gonna pray. I don't know the end of the story, but let's pray that the ankle is healed." But a great story. And then we said it's so important that we listen. We talked about eating, how many people enjoy the eating aspect. And we had some stories of people who said, well, if we're going to grow genuine, real friendships, then one of the best ways to do that is to eat with people. And not maybe it's not appropriate or always easy for all of us to be inviting guests and people to our houses. Although I know some people have done that. They said, well, I listened to that and now I've booked people to come and then we're going to have meals together. And I know some people have done that. But maybe we can go for a coffee. How many people know that actually you can have some great conversations over food? Or the coffee houses are filled with great, not just great coffee, but great conversations, aren't they? And then we talked about serve and how we can serve and not just our communities, but our friends, those people around us. And we had a great story last week. Sue shared, if you were here, but it's a great story. So we prayed for George and Sue's son Paul, and he, because he had a hernia, ulcers, and a rupture. One thing is bad. Three things is incredibly bad, and he went for a pre-op to find out what operation was needed. When they examined him, this is what George said to me. He said everything had corrected itself, apart from a small scarring internally. So now no operation was needed. The doctors were amazed. It's a great story, and we want to tell the great stories, don't we? And then last week, we were looking at the final part of this bless, this share the story. And share the story comes in two parts. Share your story, and then share his story. And we said that our motivation for sharing our story was a number of things. It was that we love people, that it's part of our purpose as church. It changes people's lives. We said it's a story that needs to be told. And there's a sense of urgency. And if you were here last week, we even had homework. We had some pieces of paper because we said we want to be deeply spiritual, but we also want to be deeply practical. Because we realize that this story that we've got, that sometimes there's this ethereal story that we know about, but it's we need to earth it in practice. We need to be ready to share our story. And I know of people this week who've said, well, how can I share my story? And we said that all of this starts by saying, or can start by saying, God, who do you want to bless through me today? What a great way to start the day. And we looked at what it looks like to share our story. We said that some of us have dramatic, life-transforming stories about what God has done in our lives, or it seems like life-transforming to us. But the truth is that every story about a relation with Jesus is powerful. So we thought about our story. We also thought about his story. And we said we wanted a greater confidence to share his story. And that's where we finished last week. And we prayed that we would have opportunities to share his story. And I'd love to hear of stories where that has happened, where we've had opportunities to do that. I was in Holland for a couple of days this week, which involved being on an aeroplane. And those of you who hear people who are preaching and teaching and talking, they'll often tell you some fantastic stories of people on aeroplanes. You know how they ended up sitting next to someone and had a fantastic conversation, and lives were changed and all that kind of thing. And I thought, well, I'd love to have one of those stories. But I don't this week. The person sat next to me asked to be moved back further up the aeroplane. So to be with her friend, just let me say that, to be with her friend. There was a positive reason for moving. It wasn't that... that I'd done anything. But in the taxi, on the way to the airport, on the way back to the airport, I ended up having a fantastic conversation in Dutch. No, not in Dutch, really. I can't speak a word of Dutch. That would have been a miracle. But with my taxi driver, who said to me, well, what do you do? And I said, oh, actually, I've got two jobs. I do a bit of finance and flooring. But I also am involved in a local church. And he said, oh, that sounds more interesting than the other one. I said, yes, it is. Talked to him about what being involved with churches. You know, there's always inroads into conversations. For me, that part is easy, but there's always inroads. You know, when you see someone tomorrow and they say, what did you do at the weekend? You say, ah, thanks for asking. Let me tell you about what I was up to and what I was doing. And I had a great conversation with him. Apparently, his mother used to be a churchgoer. His dad wasn't. So he was brought up in that kind of environment. And it was easy talking about church, but I wanted to get the conversation onto Jesus. So we had a conversation about Jesus before we got to the airport. And I'll mention that again later. But I'm praying and believing that we'll have more and more conversations as we share our story. And last week, just before we finished, we were still being really practical. There's still some of these left if you weren't here last week and you want to get hold of one. We talked about how we share our story, and we talked about how we share the story, his story. And we said we love stories so much that we create an email address where you can, if you have a story that is appropriate for you to share, then it's mystory@ashwoodchurch.org.uk, and we'll find a way of sharing it with other people in church and beyond church. We also, because it fitted so well, talked about a day that's coming up in April, so we can all book in. I'd love to be able to take a group. There's a partnership between Ground Level, part of our network of churches, and the Message Trust, some of you will know, in Manchester, and beyond that, do a phenomenal work in terms of sharing faith, but changing communities, social action. And they're going to put a day on. It's in Lincoln, 10 till 4, costs £7. And basically, it says that the day is all set up to help people grow in clarity and confidence in the gospel. And it's open to anyone. It's welcome. We're all welcome to get involved in that. And I just think it'd be great for a number of us who say, well, how can I grow myself? How can I develop myself in terms of sharing my story? So that's a plug. We can all get involved in that. And last week at the end of our meeting, we ended up praying for confidence. We said, this is all great, but some of us recognize that we need some confidence in this area. And that's where we finished last week. And that's really my start point for this morning, because I want to kind of do a part two to share the story. I want to talk about passion for the good news. If you've got your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to look at a story in Acts chapter 11. But before we do that, think about good news for a minute. Have you ever had an experience that was so good that you couldn't stop talking about it? Yeah? Well, think about the, there's lots of situations, aren't there? Think about the newly engaged couple. Everybody has to see the ring, don't they? It's good news and we want to talk about it. Think about the parents who are parents, particularly for the first time. I can remember when little Joel was born and, it was easy to see that there was good news. You can sometimes see good news on people's faces, can't you? And there's that excitement. Think about grandparents who were grandparents for the first time. Anybody a grandparent in the room? How many people can see the delight in the faces of the grandparents as they become grandparents? But then it seems to linger, the whole delight in grandparenting, doesn't it? It seems to last. I see a lot of Facebook pictures with delighted grandparents holding their grandson and granddaughter. Isn't that right, grandparents?
Yes.
It is an enthusiastic yes. Sometimes there's such good news that we can't help talk about it. Well, today we're going to look at an event in Acts where some of the first Christians had such a passion for the good news, which in fact is the good news, that they move around and they're telling everyone in the known world. And the context for this part of the story, just back a few chapters, Jesus raised from the dead, and he says to his disciples, he says, "Wait, I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be my witnesses through Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then throughout the rest of the known world." And we see this story of the good news of Jesus that is started in Jerusalem, but then it goes out and it goes beyond that. And thousands of Jews have come to Christ. But not everyone is happy. There's persecution. A man called Stephen becomes the first Christian martyr. And as a result, the Christians are scattered then throughout the known world. And we pick up the story and we see what is the start, the formation of a great church, the church in Antioch. And in Acts 11, starting at verse 19, we read this part of the story. It says this: "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." So, great story, great passage, great encounter in the life of the early church. And what we see here is this city, which was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. It's what we would see as modern-day Turkey now. That's where it was. And this city of Antioch roughly had 500,000 people or so. And we understand that up until this point, it's very unlikely that there were any Christians at all in this city. Yet after this incident, the good news spreads virally. There was no YouTube or Facebook, but people started sharing their faith. Firstly with the Jews, but then they got so caught up, they started sharing it with the Greeks as well. And we see in verse 26 that this pagan population of Antioch are seeing so many people actually become followers of Jesus that they have to come up with a name for it. they have to come up with a name for these people. And we just read right at the end of that passage here, this is the first place that followers of Jesus were given a name. And it was a nickname at the time, but it stuck, and it was Christians. And think about the impact that this had on this city, on this place. And think about just imagine for a moment, if you allow your imagination to wander, what would it look like in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our communities, if something would go viral, something that the good news was so good that it would be talked about, that it would be shared about in the marketplaces, in the spaces where people would meet and be together. What would it look like for us to capture or to recapture a passion, this kind of passion for the good news? An intense desire. What does passion look like? An intense desire and an enthusiasm for something. And this morning, if I asked you that question, those of us who are here this morning, who are believers, we're followers of Jesus, and I said, so where are you at in terms of passion for sharing the good news? If there was a scale between 1 and 10, you know, where would you put yourself? If 10 was really deeply crazy, madly passionate, and 1 was, let's say, not so good, well, wherever you put yourself, let's not. The point of this morning is not to be discouraged. The point of this morning is to say, God, Holy Spirit, come and help me capture or recapture a passion for the good news. And on Friday evening, Dwayne talked about suddenly. And I guess my prayer is this morning that for some of us, suddenly there can be a new passion for the good news. And of course, passion doesn't come when we work it up. You know that the way that passion works, you don't look yourself in the mirror and psych something up and say, I'm going to be passionate. There is something that takes place that happens within us. And that's what we pray and believe for this morning, that God does something. So I'm going to talk very quickly about two things in terms of our passion for the good news. And the first one is a deeper conviction that everyone needs Jesus. So we're going to talk about a deeper conviction and greater courage. So in this story, the Christians that we're reading about, they have a deep conviction that God had done something decisive in history that forever and ever would change the world. The world would be different. So you have to realize that the early Christians, up until this point, they were largely Jews, and they'd been believing the prophecies from the Old Testament that a Messiah was going to come, and they were expecting something a little bit different. When Jesus arrived, Jesus wasn't actually the figure that they were expecting to see when they'd heard these prophecies, but he'd come, and they'd witnessed a man who was something special, something different. He went around doing good. His teaching was outstanding. But also he was healing people. And there was incredible life change, incredible miracles. And people started to become convinced. But of course, then when he died on the cross, it seemed like everything had gone wrong, even though he predicted that was going to happen. It was a bad day. But of course, we know the story that wasn't the end of the story, because he rose from the dead, praise God. And he walked around and he met people, and he was around for many different appearances after that. So they realized that he wasn't just the Messiah, but he was actually the Son of God, which back then was a game changer. And how many people know that today the truth, if whatever we believe about Jesus, is a game changer? And imagine what it looked like for the early church. Verse 21 says, they went to Antioch and they began to speak to Greeks also, telling them about the good news. They'd known Jesus. They'd walked. Many of them had witnessed. That's why it said witnesses. They'd witnessed something about Jesus. And they wanted to tell everyone about it. Just think about when there is... Just try and think for a moment. Just imagine when you've got good news, you want to tell everyone about it. The grandparent, the mum, the dad, the the person who's engaged. There's a passion, isn't there, without doing anything because of the circumstances. And these people had witnessed what Jesus had done. They'd been around, they'd seen this man, they'd been aware of the stories, but they'd also witnessed it for themselves. You can imagine the passion and enthusiasm. And of course, it's different for us, but we can, through God's Holy Spirit, as we read our Bible, and as we get to know Jesus for ourselves, we can have that same passion, can't we? That's the way it works for us today. We get to live in the benefit of knowing the stories, the powerful stories of Jesus. And of course, if the Jesus message is true, and last week we talked about Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then there comes with us a deep conviction that actually it's not just for us, but all have sinned and fallen short. And actually, everyone needs to know this news. Not just because it's important, but because it's eternally important. And that's why in my conversation with the taxi driver, I wanted to make sure that we didn't just talk about church, but actually we talked about Jesus himself. Because talking about Jesus himself is a game changer. You know, you can't sit on the fence when it comes to Jesus. You have to make a decision. Was he the Son of God? Because if he was the Son of God, then you have to listen to the words that he said. And at that point, a decision is required. And in this story, if we look back just as a qualifier, there was one guy called Philip, and we're told that Philip was an evangelist. Basically, a guy with a supernatural ability to communicate the good news. And some of us in the room will know of people who have a supernatural ability to communicate the good news, what we describe as evangelist. But there was only Philip. The rest of them were, if you like, ordinary believers. And they were ordinary believers, but they got hold of extraordinary good news. Last week, we talked about Romans 1, verse 16, and I love this verse. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, or a different translation that we have there. This good news is not just good news as in, here's my ring, I'm engaged, here's my firstborn baby son. And it's actually, this good news has power, has supernatural power for those who believe. And it started with the Jews in the same culture, but then some of them got a bit bolder. We hear it in the story, don't we? Then they started to speak to the Greeks, or in other words, the Gentiles, which is good news for us who are not Jews. The message got out beyond those who were close to it at first. So what's our response? Well, I believe that we can have a deeper conviction that everyone needs Jesus. You know, if that is true and it affects and impacts our lives, then it causes our actions to be different, doesn't it? That we're aware of this eternal, powerful message, transformation message of the good news makes a difference. I heard an example which I thought was really helpful. And it goes like this. Just imagine a scenario that you are born with an incurable disease. Grow up where there is no known cure. You go through suffering because of this disease. Then one day, someone comes to you and says, look, if you take this medication, if you take this tablet, then it will provide you immediately with a cure. Well, how many people in this hypothetical situation say, well, I'd at least give it a try? So you take the tablet, and sure enough, it seems to work. The symptoms disappear. It seems to be more than just psychosomatic, but since you've had it all your life, you think, well, I better get this checked out, go and see the medics. And they confirm, they say, yeah, it's incredible, you're cured. And it's not just a cure for now, it's not coming back, it's amazing. Well, first question is this. How would you feel about the guy who gave you this tablet? Pretty grateful, right? How many people would, if it was possible, go back and find him and say, look, I just want to express thanks? I think most of us would. And maybe if you do that, go back and find him and say, well, I'm so grateful, express thanks. And of course, he says, you're welcome. There's just one thing I want you to do. I've produced an unlimited supply of the same drugs. And I want you to go into your world, your neighborhood, your community. There are a number of people actually with the same disease. And I want you to take these with you. And I want you to tell everyone what happened to you and the difference that this drug has made. Would you do that? And then he says, actually, it's so important that I don't just want you to tell the people that you know, but there are plenty of people that you don't know as well. How about you inconvenience yourself a little bit? How about you even make it your life mission to tell those people, because the good news is that you can rescue them. Would you do that? And it's a hypothetical example, of course, but the truth is that all of us are born with an incurable disease that's actually much worse than my example. The Bible calls it sin, and of course it has an impact. It does have consequences for our mind, our will, our soul. It does have physical consequences as well in many ways. It messes with every area of our life. The Bible calls it sin. There's a quote from this guy. He's a Russian novelist. He's called Alexander. And he says this: gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through the states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. In other words, sin is a disease and it affects all of us. We all have to deal with it. But of course, the gospel is incredibly good news. The Creator sent his Son to come in human form. That's what we celebrate, isn't it, at Christmas? He came, God himself, but in human form, to remove the separation, the curse, the power of sin from our lives through living a sinless life. The Son of God came so that we did not have to die, but we could have the wonderful gift of eternal life. He took our punishment, he took our guilt, he took our shame so that we could receive forgiveness, peace, healing, wholeness. You might have heard it before, but can I tell you, it's still good news even today. Thank you, Norman. It is good news. We're no longer orphans. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We have a Father in heaven. The separation is removed. If we were in America right now, you would stand up and you would go like this, because that's what they do. They go, yeah. We're not in America, are we? So. And when I'm in America, I don't do that either. Feels kind of weird. I kind of like it as well. And of course, we might say, yeah, but not everyone seems to want to know that they need Jesus. How many people have had a conversation and you weren't met with an overwhelming response of, ah, this is good news. Thank you for sharing it with me. What must I do to be saved? Some of us, many of us. But the truth is that it's still true, and the Holy Spirit knows it's true, and the Holy Spirit is working in us, and I believe working in those people that we're speaking to. Ultimately, they will have a choice to make. They'll have a decision, won't they? And that's why this blessing is great, because if we begin in prayer, as we begin to pray, the Holy Spirit starts to do something first in us, but then hopefully in those people that we are talking and having conversations with. You know, there's always going to be a connection, isn't there, between playing our part, and ultimately God, the Holy Spirit, playing his part. So let's pray and let's believe that we can have a deeper conviction that everyone needs Jesus. How many people know that everyone needs Jesus? How many of us live our lives as if that was true? That's the challenge, isn't it? Because if it's true that everyone needs Jesus, then it's going to affect everything I do. So we want a deeper conviction that everyone needs Jesus. And secondly, we want greater courage to share the message of Jesus. And we prayed last week at the end for confidence. And we said that actually we want to believe that we can have greater courage as well. We need to understand in the context of this story, in the Jewish world of Jerusalem, Christians had started getting persecuted by the Jews. In the rest of the Roman world, there was emperor worship, all kinds of gods and cults, and Christianity was not the prevailing worldview. They were a persecuted minority. Eventually it spread, and of course the good news, those of you who know church history will know that the whole of the Roman Empire was affected, and that's where the good news spread to. But they needed courage, and many were killed for their faith. Now here in the UK, we don't face that today. There are others in parts of the world who face this type of persecution, don't they? And of course, we pray for them. But we do face the reality that in our culture where we live, Christianity is less mainstream than it was maybe, say, 50 or 100 years ago. Would you agree? And thank God that we still have openness to the gospel. But there are challenges that we have to overcome. If you look at the research and the feedback, then the reason that most people struggle or have difficulty with Christians having conversations about Jesus or inviting people to things, the top answer always is fear. So what's the antidote to fear? Well, I guess part of it is having a deep conviction that everyone needs to know Jesus. But the other is to know that even though every single human heart needs to know God, there's the love of God, which does what? The love of God casts out fear. So if we invite the Holy Spirit to help us, then, and we have the love of God in our hearts, then it's not through drumming anything up, psyching anything up, but actually we have a passion that comes to us because we have the love. That's our motivation, isn't it? We talked about it last week, the love of God in our lives. But how many people recognize that we need courage? And one of the things that gave the early disciples, these Christians, courage was that they knew that they weren't on their own. They weren't on their own back then. And of course, we're not on our own today either. In verse 21, I love this. I love these words. Just a very small phrase, but it says, the Lord's hand was with them. So they went and they shared the message, but the Lord's hand was with them. This is an Old Testament phrase that talks about God's mighty power. And the source of courage, if we want greater courage to share the message of Jesus, comes from God himself. Matthew 28, Jesus, the Great Commission, very famous passage. Jesus says, go and make disciples. And then he finishes with a promise, and I am with you always. The hand of God is a significant part in this. It's in partnership with God through his Holy Spirit that makes a difference. The Holy Spirit helps people to see and then receive. We talked about it before, but without the Holy Spirit involved in this transaction, if you like, then it's not going to be successful, is it? And if this morning you're here and you're saying, well, I don't know this Jesus, I haven't made this connection, then let me encourage you, today could be your day. One of the things we talked about last week was the uncertainty of our future. Last It's not a morbid thing, but last Monday as I was driving to work, I had a phone call from one of my colleagues, and she phoned me while I was in the car, and she said, "Matthew, I've got some news." I didn't expect it was good news, to be honest. And she said that actually over the weekend, one of our colleagues at work, age 57, had just had a massive heart attack on Sunday and died. And deep sense of sadness. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, I was stood by the coffee machine speaking to this guy, and now he's no longer with us. And of course, it's sad, and we respond. And I'm not saying that this morning as a pressure or a guilt thing, but it's the reality, isn't it? That we don't know what tomorrow holds. And the choices that we make today and the impact that we make today, you know, this, that's the truth, isn't it? For some people, the importance of living our lives with the backdrop of eternity so significant. And I know that's the way many of us would choose to live. And of course, our message is a message of hope, and it's a message of life. And we have the opportunity to share such good news, which will impact people and change their destiny for eternity. One of the things that Dwayne talked about on Friday evening was the possibility for sudden release of power, for sudden restoration, for sudden revelation. And we prayed then and we prayed this morning that that is the case. As we close our time this morning, I guess I'd like to, in a part of the message, there's a challenge for us to evaluate for ourselves, what do we believe? What is our thinking in terms of sharing the good news? Of course, that's a part of it. But it's never a message where we say, look, here's a set of rules. Here's something that we have to do, because our part is only to play a part in his story, in sharing the good news, isn't it? And what could it look like for each one of us to live with a deeper conviction that everyone that we're ever going to meet, everyone we have met, needs Jesus, and to live with a greater courage than before? And I guess this morning I want us to leave with the message of the good news alive in our hearts.